Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, reading verse 13 through 18. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid, sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them," or waited on them, maybe made supper or what have you. "When the even," or evening, "was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side." Heavenly Father, once again, we praise you. We thank you. We're so grateful for all the things that you've done for us and that your word promises for us. And I'm so glad I'm forgiven of my sins. And that if I died tomorrow, I would go to heaven. Do not stop, do not pass, go, have no need of $200, because I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And I'm so grateful for that. So very grateful for that. Please help us in all of our struggles, in our infirmities. There's somebody sick in our family, please take care of them. And please give us understanding of your word. And as the man said, and as I often say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And in his precious name, his wonderful and glorious name, the name above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as I record this, I'm sure the microphone will pick it up. There's a storm rolling through. And I guess these last few weeks we know all about storms and rain, don't we? But the way that this chapter is laid out, and due to the time constraints that I have, I only have 25 minutes to preach. I want to take the middle of this chapter, picking up right where we stopped reading, really, and look through the middle and the end of it. And then next time, next week, I'll start at verse 13 and go through the end, and I'll be able to get it all. But today I want to discuss the topic of demon spirits. I glossed over it a couple of chapters ago, I suppose, and I'm a little cautious of teaching about it, because we understand this is the 21st century. Everybody's got an iPhone, everybody's been to the doctor and had some infection or whatever that 100 years ago would have killed them, just taken care of in a matter of days, just a couple of days of pills, antibiotics, what have you, and the thing's gone. Blindness, not total blindness, but a lot of blindness, cataracts and what have you, a number of things not that long ago that we would have said that person's blind. They undergo an operation or two, and they can see. My cousin, I might have told this, he had the keratomy thing, or whatever they call it, done, and he threw his glasses away. He didn't need them anymore, and I'm grateful for that. But the fact remains that Jesus Christ still heals the sick, and I'm grateful for it. I've been healed myself on occasion I've prayed for people to be healed, and at times they have been healed. But this verse 16, it says that he healed all that were sick. That it was fulfilled in verse 17 by what Isaiah the prophet said. That, quoting chapter 53 of Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We can shout about divine healing, be very grateful when it happens, what have you, and I preached it all of my Christian life, that God heals the sick. And if we look to him, believing, there's no telling what God can do for us. Great healing. But in this same verse, verse 16, again, Matthew chapter 8, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, comma, and healed all that were sick. They go together. Now again, this is the 21st century. We're enlightened. We understand science and what have you. And we're smart enough to know that, well, maybe God heals the sick, but demons, they don't exist anymore, brother. And I've heard that told to me before. If the part about divine healing is true, then the part about demon spirits and demon possession must also be true. But here in America, we've been conditioned to not even recognize it. I have seen, you have seen, demon-possessed people on television and maybe didn't recognize it. I'm a nut job who thankfully is no longer in office over there in Iran. There's another nut job, I suppose, don't remember his name, trying to get a nuclear bomb and wipe us all out. Demon-possessed. Adolf Hitler, no question, demon-possessed. You can't look at the massacres by the hundreds of Christians in the Middle East and in Africa, butchered by, it's not the Taliban now, it's ISIS, that's the bogeyman, I suppose. You can't say that demon spirits aren't behind the slaughter, the martyrdom of yours and my brothers. Okay, fine, we can talk about sin and demon possession in general. But I believe, and again, I'm not an idiot. I went to LSU. I studied engineering. I do highly technical things for a living. I've got a brain. So what I'm saying is not foolishness. I understand about drugs. Now, I didn't do very much of it 30 years ago, however long it was. But I understand how it messes with your brain. I never did heroin or crack or nothing like that. But I understand that the hard stuff will mess with your brain. I understand. But sin opens the way for Satan to come in. And fine, you know, that's a chemical thing and it's a physiological thing in the brain, maybe chemicals. I understand that. But a lot of those bums begging for money with those silly little signs, you know they're lying about what the signs say. A lot of those guys, there's something wrong with them. And it's more than just alcohol, and it's more than just drugs that did that to them. Satan is real, I guess we should admit it. But it says he cast out devils. And then it says in verse 18, now when Jesus saw the great multitudes, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And we'll go over this in detail. They went back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. But it says further down, and we'll get to it, that when he got to the other side, in verse 28, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, that no man might pass by that way. And I'm going to go over this in more detail. But he had to deal with demon-possessed men, and they were delivered. But there's more to that story. But the land of Israel if you study it, if you take your time, and if you read the Gospels carefully, you understand where he was. He was in Capernaum, that area, what have you. And he went across from west to kind of east, southeast, I suppose. And he went to the town of Gadara, whatever it was. If you go back into history, you understand that he started out in Naphtali, but he went over. When he crossed over, he went to Manasseh. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, and I wish I could read all of it. I'm going to read a little bit and tell you about the rest. But you remember that God had promised to Abraham the land of Canaan. But we understand it was Abraham and Isaac and then Jacob. And then Jacob ended up down in Egypt, and 400 some odd years passed. And Moses came on the scene and delivered the children of Israel and led them around through the Sinai. And then they ended up in Jordan. And then Moses died and Joshua brought them across Jordan. And they went to war against the Canaanites, and there were these various tribes and what have you. And one by one they had victories most of the time and defeats some of the time. But they possessed the land, the promised land. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, it says in verse 1, Now the children of Reuben, one of the tribes, the children of Gad, one of the tribes, had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the princes of the congregation, saying, All these different towns, I won't name them, it looks like a good place for us to put cattle. Verse 5, Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Now we understand across the river in Jordan, that's the promised land. And we understand back in Numbers, or wherever it was, that you said we were going to get a certain part of land in the promised land, in the land of Canaan, with all the other tribes. But we don't want to go. We want to stay on this side, Jordan. We got a bunch of cattle. That's a good excuse. Yeah, we got a bunch of cattle. Let's stay here. We don't want the promise. Imagine that. We don't want the promise. If God promises you something, don't you want it? If you're a kid, you're doing good in school, and your parents say, look, if you graduate and you don't get at least a B, you know, well, it's not going to be a new one. Be 10, 15 years old, but we'll buy you a car for your graduation. Well, the kid would say, I think I want to make some good grades because I get a car when I graduate, right? Or the kid could be stupid and say, well, I don't want the car. I would rather walk. Been walking all this time. I want to continue. Isn't that stupid? But that's exactly what Reuben and Gad, and they convinced half the tribe of Manasseh to go along with them. And Moses said, Ho, time out. Let's talk about this. I mean, Moses' entire life had to do with delivering the children of Israel, bringing them through the desert, bringing them around, what have you, and across Jordan and into the promised land. That's his whole life. And 2.5 tribes says, No, we don't want to go. We don't want the promise. And there's this big to-do. There's this big discussion. There's this big bargain. You see, the issue was that in addition to the fact that they rejected the promise, the fact is the other tribes were going to have to go in and fight. You can read in Joshua, what have you, that they fought this tribe, that tribe. They fought town after town to take possession of the promise. God had promised, but they had to step forward. They had to get out of their boat, if you want. They had to fight. Just because God promised didn't mean that the Girgashites and what have you would say, okay, that's it, we're going to go somewhere else. They had been there for hundreds of years, however long, and said, we ain't going to leave unless you kick us out. And you can read in Joshua and what have you, and maybe even later on, where they continued to fight to possess the land. But there was this discussion that went on, and Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh said, look, we'll go ahead and fight, and we're going to park our kids, we're going to park our cattle, we're going to go across the river and fight, and when the land is mostly possessed, when the battles are mostly completed and died down, then we'll go back and we'll build houses and whatever and live outside of the promise on the wrong side of Jordan. And really you should read this whole passage, this whole chapter, because it mentions the 12 spies. Remember the story of the 12 spies? They went and spied out the land and came back, and two, Joshua and Caleb, said, yeah, we can do this, man. We can do it. God's going to help us. And the 10 said, man, there's giants over there, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and there's just no way we're going to be able to do it. And the children of Israel believed the bad report. They walked in doubt and not faith. And because of it, instead of 2 years, they went around 38 more years around that mountain, Mount Sinai and what have you. And all of those people died off. Their children got to partake of the promise. But they themselves, walking in doubt and not in faith, they missed out on God's promise. So that's the background. And when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, beached the boat, what have you, climbed out, they didn't get but 100 yards or whatever, and what do you know, these two guys, demon-possessed, it says they came out of the tombs. It means they lived in the cemetery. And that is a symbol. They didn't live in an orchard. They lived in a cemetery. They were demon-possessed and lived in a cemetery. You see, if you live for the devil, your end is death. If you flirt with the devil, if you do things on Friday and Saturday night you know you shouldn't do, you flirt with the devil, the end is death. Now, I don't know what's going to happen for you. You may decide to turn over a new leaf, as they say, get smart, whatever. Maybe go to UNO or Delgado or something and make something of your life. Maybe. Maybe you'll be even smarter than that and give your life to God and begin to do right for real. Not just turn over a leaf, but become a new creature in Christ. I'm so glad I had that opportunity. But for many young people today, they never leave that life of death. Getting back to the text, we know this story. In verse 29, they cried out, the demon-possessed, in other words, demons speaking through the men, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You know, we can't trust a single thing a demon-possessed man says. Or if you hear a voice, some mysterious voice, you can't trust that stuff. But in this case, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And they knew that the end of Satan and his demons is hell. You know, in Revelation it says that the wicked are thrown into the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it says in verse 30, there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine or pigs feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. Let us go into the pigs. And, you know, there's a lot I don't understand about the Bible. I don't understand exactly all what happened here. But that's what they asked. And he said, okay, go. And the two men were delivered. The demon spirits came out, but the spirits went into these pigs. And it says that the whole herd of pigs ran fast, violently, down a steep place off a cliff, really, into the sea, and perished in the waters. Now, I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand very much about demon spirits. I really don't. But the Bible says that that happened, and that did. But look at the last two verses of this chapter. And they that kept them, or tended the herd of pigs. We understand cowboys tend the herd of cattle. Well, somebody had to watch these pigs. It says they fled. They ran away. Their pigs died and they ran away. And they went into the city, it says, and told everybody what happened. They told how the men were delivered of the devils, the demon spirits, and how the pigs, they got demon possessed. And again, I don't understand it. That they went over the cliff and drowned. But it says, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, in other places that was a good thing, but in this case it was not a good thing. Because it says, and when they saw him, they besought him, or asked him, that he would depart out of their coasts. Now, having read the background in Numbers chapter 32, we get a little understanding of what exactly took place. This was the land of Manasseh. Now, I understand that everybody was carried off to Babylon and came back and what have you. I understand all of that. But pigs were unclean animals. Jews had no reason to keep pigs. A Jew won't have anything to do with a pork chop or bacon or nothing like that, much less feed them and raise them. But these people in Manasseh, in the place of the Gergesenes, did. That's obviously an ungodly thing for them to do. These two men were delivered from demon possession. And this guy's living drowned in the sea. And they came out not to worship Jesus, not to say, hey, you know, my uncle, he's only got one leg. I don't know, he got chopped off or whatever the deal was. Will you please heal my uncle? Like every other place that Jesus went. They said, no. No. Jesus, look, get back in your boat and go back on the other side. We don't want the promise. We don't want your healing. We don't want the power of God. Just like our ancestors way back then, we don't want the promise. We want to stay on this side of Jordan. To me, when I read that and when I think about that, I tremble. I spent all of my Christian life praying, asking God to help. And again, I'm a preacher, and I knew just a couple of weeks after I got saved that God had called me to preach, and that was over 30 years ago. For 30 years, I've asked God, Lord, give me a message. Lord, what should I say to these people? God, help me and anoint me to preach so that people would turn to you. But these people, their legacy was to say, no, God, we don't want your promise. And when the ultimate promise, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, as we just said, came on the scene, parked his boat, hopped out, and said, here I am, they said, get back in your boat. We don't want you. And to me, that makes me tremble. Because too many churches today, too many denominations today, are saying, well, we might have accepted that in the past. We might have believed God in the past, but not today. Jesus, get back in your boat. Go back onto the other side. We don't want the promise. And that scares me. And it should scare anybody that loves the Lord. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.